مدنی مذاکرہ ہے شریعت کا فرزینہ، اخلاق کا تہذیب کا طریقت کا فرزینہ، مدنی مذاکرہ ہے مدنی مذاکرہ، مدنی مذاکرہ ہے مدنی مذاکرہ۔
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله۔ مكتبة المدينة's booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam on page number 10 out of 40 sayings of Mustafa صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم، Number 26, saying of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is, perform fard hajj. No doubt, the reward for this is more than taking part in 20 ghazawat, and reciting the Rude Pak upon me once has the same reward. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala على محمد۔
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته۔
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته۔
Beloved Sheikh, how can we obtain the fear of Allah Almighty and love of the Holy Prophet?
For this purpose, company of Allah-fearing people and devotees of His Rasul is very effective. Study also becomes a mean for it. Speeches on these topics also become means for it, but a company is unique. A company is more effective. These companies have now, in fact, become unique. Negligence is in full swing. If we stay in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami, keep traveling in Madani kafilas, keep acting upon Madani in Amad, keep taking part in the Madani activities with full passion, then insha'Allah, fear of Allah and love of Mustafa Jalla Jalaluhu wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will also be obtained by one, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Read books for this purpose. There is great matter available in Ihya'ul Ulum on the topic of fear of Allah. So there are some such things in it which one should make as a standard for fear of Allah. One shall consider himself helpless, as he indeed is helpless. We have no control over anything. And Allah Almighty is the mightiest in every way. He is not helpless at all. Neither can anyone suppress him, nor can anyone scare him. There is no way at all, as He is the mightiest of all in every way. So one shall look up to His dominant might and look at His own helplessness, as we can't even remove a fly from our bodies. If we get a slight scratch on our finger, we don't even possess the power for it to get healed by merely saying to it that heal up. We're helpless. So whilst keeping His absolute majestic might in view, you should remain fear-stricken from His hidden plan. Because no one among us knows how our end will be, whether it will be on Iman or not. This is the most fearful and scaring fact. So if he keeps himself fearful, then moreover, if he keeps this fact in view, that an ayah of Surah Yasin says, وَامْتَازُوا الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. And be separated this day, O you criminals. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will command Sayyiduna Adam Safiyullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam that among your progeny, separate 999 transgressors out of 1,000. So out of 1,000, only one is left. So is our character and our mannerism, our way of living is such which will sort of save us and protect us from those 999 transgressors? Just by mercy of Allah. Only Allah's mercy can save us. Our character is not worthy of it. My master Ala Hazrat, who was the devotee of Rasul and accomplished saint, says whilst questioning his inner conscience that, Nafs, ye kya zulm hai? Jab dekho taza jurm hai? O Nafs, you are a very big oppressor. All the time, you keep committing different types of sins. You don't refrain from it. Nafs, ye kya zulm hai? Jab dekho taza jurm hai? Na tumaan pe itna bojh. Na tumaan pe itna bojh bhari, wah wah.
Nafs, ye kya zulm hai? Jab dekho taza jurm hai?
Meaning, O tyrant nafs, you are committing different sins all the time, whereas you are extremely weak. Meaning, you can't bear heat, you can't bear cold, you get distressed due to rains, you cry of pain if a small thorn pricks you. Slightest of fevers makes you restless, so weak. So can you bear the punishment of Allah Almighty? So can you endure the severity of the punishment that He Almighty inflicts? Despite this, you are still committing sins all the time. So over here, Ala Hazrat is admonishing himself, where do me and you stand? It is Ala Hazrat's humility. What will happen to us? So anyhow, you should create fear of Allah in your heart and show its signs from your body too. Some of our matters also reveal the signs of Allah's fear. Therefore, Hazrat Sayyiduna Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi alayhi rahmatullahi al-Qawi has stated that the signs of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal are reflected from 8 things. Number 1, from a man's tongue. It's in a way that Allah's fear will stop his tongue from lying, backbiting and useless conversation, and will keep him indulged in Allah's zikr, recitation of the Holy Quran and academic discussions. Number 2, from a man's stomach. That in such a way that he will not let haram enter his stomach. And he will consume even halal things just according to his needs. Number 3, the third sign of Allah's fear that reflects from the 8 things, he alayhi rahmah says regarding it. Number 3, from his eyes, meaning from the eye of the one who has Allah's fear, in a way that it will protect him from seeing haram. What will protect him? Allah's fear will protect him from seeing haram. And he will not look at this world with a sight of awe, but with an admonitory sight. Number 4, from his hand, in a way that he will never stretch his hand towards something that is haram. Rather, always he will use in the obedience of the merciful Allah Almighty. Number 5. From His feet. Allah's fear will reflect from His feet in such a way that He will not take the step in disobeying Allah, but rather will only use them to fulfill His command and obey Him. Number 6. From His heart. In such a way that He removes grudges, malice, jealousy for His Muslim brothers away from His heart, and fills His heart with the passion of welfare and polite behavior towards the Muslims. Number 7. From the acts of His obedience. In a way that He worships only for the sake of Allah. Moreover, He remains fearful from ostentation, showing off, and hypocrisy. Number 8. From the ability of His listening. In a way that He doesn't listen to anything but what is permissible. From this detail, we clearly come to know that after reading or listening parables about the grave, accountability, scale of mizan, etc., then just to take few sighs of distress or to shake your head here and there a few times, being distressed or to shed few tears is not adequate and sufficient. Instead, alongside with it, fulfilling the practical requirements of Allah Almighty's fear, abandoning the sins completely, engaging oneself in the obedience of Allah Almighty is also extremely important for the eternal salvation. The matter that I relate to you is from a booklet of Maktabatul Madina with the name of Khawf-e Khuda. I presented it from page 19 and 20 of this booklet. It is a very nice booklet. It has approximately over 100 pages or so, around 150 pages. This booklet is worth a read. If you haven't read it so far, then buy it today and definitely read it once you get a chance. Then the fear of Allah that will ignite in you is a priceless blessing. It does exist. Everyone possesses it. A little bit of fear, but inshallah, it will increase once you read it.
Tere dar se sada thar
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Beloved Sheikh, my name is Muhammad Sheikh Salahuddin. I am calling from India. My question in your court is that why is it very difficult to protect one's iman? Undoubtedly, fear of Allah is present in our hearts. We have the fear of loss of iman. But why is it very difficult to protect it? And is there a way through which we can always protect our iman?
In this world, we can understand it through this example that anything precious of this dunya, the more precious and valuable it is, the more difficult it is to protect it. For instance, you see, in Babul Madina, Karachi, it is a very big issue to go out and keep your phone safe as well. Moreover, people would go out with a cheaper mobile phone as well. they wouldn't go out with an expensive one, thinking that it'll be snatched. So the precious one was left at home and cheaper one in the pocket. So the one that was more difficult to keep guard of was provided with more protection. Similarly, if one has small amount of money, he'll keep it in pocket. If the amount is more, he'll keep it at home. If the amount is even more, he'll keep it in a bank. A bigger amount than this and jewelry, etc., is kept in safety lockers. So more precious a belonging is, stronger the protective measures are adopted for it. Country is a precious and valuable thing. Protection of a country is very difficult. That's why probably most of the budget is allocated towards the defense of the country. It is the army. Normally there are billions being spent on the defense of the country. They're enjoying and chilling. People think, what do you need them for? They just relax, chill, they don't do anything. We're not under attack. Oh dear brother, that's the reason why there's no attack. If there's no army at all, we'd be attacked. Attack won't even be needed. Anyone would then occupy us. So, protecting a country is very difficult. Me and you can't save it. Army is needed for this. Similarly, those who have serious life threats, they'll even keep their homes firmly built for their own protection and safety. If there's more danger, then they'll keep a bodyguard for safety. Higher the danger is, stronger the guard. So they will try to keep the number of guards depending on the level of danger they face from the opposite side. That's how much protocol he will arrange for. Just one neighbor is not his enemy whom he had argument with. Or it's not just a gang of couple of people or such and such gangster who is his enemy. In fact, there are big gangs after him. Who knows how many people are after him. Now he'll guard himself accordingly, ensuring he's not attacked from here, nor from there, neither from front, nor from back, neither from the top. So as precious a belonging is, now you tell me, what is the most precious thing? You'll definitely say it's Iman. Life is precious. I've mentioned the means of its protection, which we normally adopt. Iman is undoubtedly precious than even life. Life is to end, and losing a life is not a loss. Death is a matchless gift for the devotees of Rasul, as they will be blessed with beholding the Holy Rasul in the grave. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So anyhow, one losing his life and passing away, we'll call it a loss in one way, but in reality it's not a loss. It is in fact a means of meeting Allah, a means of beholding Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Bilal al-Habshi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. What a devotee of Rasul. When the time of his demise approached, then his blessed wife radiyallahu ta'ala anha proclaimed, Wa huzna, ah sadness. He replied, Wa taraba, a glad tiding. It is indeed a glad tiding that I will very soon depart this world. And when I depart this world, I'll be blessed with the gathering of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I will meet the blessed companions. Anyhow, this is the mindset of devotees. So the protection of life is given so much importance, but no one can even think about losing his iman. I swear by Allah, I'm stating the sentiments of my heart. May Allah forbid. Just stating the feelings of my heart, that if someone says to me right now, that we give you the kingdom of the entire world, and if it is being given in reality, it's being given for sure, but on the condition that, na'uzu billahi min zalik, only once you have to say the following. I feel fear in even saying these words, but just giving an example, that I have to say that I'm not a Muslim. Then repent straight away and recite the kalima. I will not be willing to utter these words, as if I am given the entire kingdom of this world, and it's given for sure, 100%, and Koh-e-Noor is placed in my feet, which is considered as world's most precious diamond. Everything is given. No, Iman is most precious. and I don't think anyone will disagree with me, no Muslim can even think about selling his iman in this world. I won't even ask you that, what your thoughts are about this. It is obvious, it's understood that he who's Muslim can never sell his iman at all. It's out of question. Such incomparable iman. So now, why its protection will not be difficult. Moreover, the thief of the wealth and the riches of this world is a human, just like us. It's easier to save things from him, hide from him. It's not very difficult to catch him and sentence him. People also do so. Otherwise, police catches him. So protection against a thief is easier from the thief of worldly wealth. Whereas the thief of Iman, Shaitan, the accursed, is flowing in our veins with our blood. He is not visible either. He is also very cunning. He is extremely cunning. He is a grave liar and biggest of the deceivers. Why wouldn't it be difficult to save Iman from him? As a matter of fact, the smallest of the mobile phone even gets snatched away if you remain heedless. You won't go out with a 10 pounds note in your hand in a way that someone can snatch it and run away. And you think that we don't need to do anything to protect our Iman? Then what if Iman also gets snatched away? As my master, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi says, that the scholars say, the one who doesn't fear losing his Iman in his lifetime, there is a risk of him losing Iman at the time of his death. So because Iman is the most precious thing, so its protection will be as difficult too. And is also important. Pious predecessors used to yearn for it a lot. They would cry a lot. You should read the booklet, Causes of Bad End. It's a small booklet, probably 30 pages or maybe even less than that. Read it. If your heart is still alive, you'll start weeping out of fear. So one shall make full efforts to safeguard his Iman. An evil company is like a deadly poison for one's Iman. Yaar-e-bad az-bad-tar maar-e-bad. Meaning an evil friend is like even worse than a deadly snake. Because a deadly snake will at most take your life. In other words, he'll also make you embrace martyrdom. As the one who's bitten by a snake and passes away is a martyr. So a deadly snake takes one's life. Whereas Yaar-e-bad, an evil friend, takes Iman away. I don't remember the whole couplet. This is its summary, which I've mentioned. It's probably a couplet of Masnavi Sharif. So an evil friend. There's no shortage of evil friends nowadays. Some poor, unwise and foolish people say to the extent that our Iman is absolutely firm. Nothing will happen to us. Listen to all and do what you want. And they listen to everyone as well. They argue on religious matters. They don't have the knowledge. And who knows what they end up uttering from their mouths. There's a risk of kufr as well. So therefore, one shall not argue on religious matters. This is the job of scholars. So whatever beliefs you have, do not abandon them. Alhamdulillah, we are Ahlul Sunnah. And inshaAllah, with the mercy of beloved Habib, we'll also become heaven dwellers. Our Iman is strong. Our Iman is strong with the mercy of Allah. I mean, we have faith upon the mercy of Allah, graceful sight and bestowment of Aqa Kareem alayhi salatu wa taslim. As you have given Islam, you have included us in Jama'at. So, O bestower, how would your bestowment turn away now? So do not let any satanic whisper shake your beliefs at all. As in, I don't know whether he's right or he's right or who's right. So at least this is now for sure that he himself is not right. He doesn't know whether he's right. So Alhamdulillah, we are right. Us, Dawat-e-Islami is, Alhamdulillah, right. We are Ahlul Sunnah. We are devotees of blessed companions. We are devotees of pious saints. Alhamdulillah, we are fine. And we are the slaves and followers of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl-e-Sunnat, alayhi rahmah. With the mercy of Allah, our belief is firm. Maulana Hasan Raza Khan Ali Rahma mentioned it beautifully in his couplet, Ghaus Muhyiddin hai, Khwaja Mu'inuddin hai. Meaning Ghaus Pak is the one who revived the deen, and Khwaja Mu'inuddin is the protector of deen, guardian of deen, helper of deen. So, then, why shall your beliefs not be protected? O Hassan, I often forget it. This is the summary. So they were the pious bondsmen of Allah. Their beliefs were very firm. As when we've held upon to Huzur Ghaus-e-Pak, then we are absolutely right. We will not leave Ghaus-e-Pak at any cost. No matter how much one pulls us back, our hand breaks and separates from our body, but still we will not leave Ghaus-e-Pak. We'll always stay with him, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So anyhow, we shall have the worry to protect our Iman. Kufriya kalimat ke baare mein sual jawab. On page number 674. Malfuzat Ala Hazrat on page 311. Son of Ala Hazrat Tajdare Ahle Sunnat. Huzur Mufti Azam Hind Maulana Mustafa Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman states, one day, after offering Salatul Isha, people were being blessed with kissing hands. One person, out of the crowd humbly, said in the blessed court of Ala Hazrat, Your Highness, I'm from the district Oshangabad. I received the news of your arrival in Jabalpur in train. Therefore, I have just come to ask you for dua, that may Allah Almighty bless me with a fortunate death on Iman. Meaning that a person came in the court of Ala Hazrat traveling from far away just for the protection of Iman. As in, he gets the blessings and dua of Ala Hazrat that Iman remains safe and protected. How were the people of the past? If someone travels and comes now, he'll say that there's no blessing in my earnings. So we normally go here and there in search of a solution only for worldly distresses. And whenever Ala Hazrat went to anyone himself on these kinds of occasions, he asked for dua for forgiveness. We're getting worldly blessings anyways. Anyhow, those asking for duas of worldly matters do not commit a sin at all. But one should talk about the most precious thing. When there's a positive assumption about someone that his dua is accepted, or whatever you ask him is given to you, for example, then why ask for 50 or 100 quid? Why not ask for a blank check? Completely blank. Dua for safety of Iman is of course like a blank check. As in, nothing is more superior than the dua of safety of Iman, superior than the dua of forgiveness. So anyhow, he came for the reason of having death on Iman. So Ala Hazrat gave him the dua and said, recite 41 times in the morning, i.e. the time when half night is passed until the first ray of sun shining is called morning, and from the afternoon until the sunset is called the evening. Recite 41 times in the morning, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, La Ilaha Illa Anta, with Salat at beginning and end. Moreover, recite Surah Kafirun every night after all your orad. Do not converse, i.e. speak, etc. after this. Anyhow, if there is a need, then recite Surah Kafirun again after completing the conversation, as it should end on these very words. Last words uttered should be Surah Kafirun. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, death will be on Iman. And recite this dua 3 times in the day and in the evening. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min an nushrika bika shay'an na'lamuhu wa nastaghfiruka lima la na'lamuhu. All these du'as are also stated and mentioned in the Shajara Qadiriyah Razaviyah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب
صلى الله عليه وسلم.
It is also mentioned in 40 spiritual cures that whoever recites Huwallahu Rahim 7 times after every salah, he will also meet his death with Iman.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Muhammad Qasir Attari. I'm calling from Bangladesh, Saidpur. Beloved Shaykh, my question in your court is that I read in Blessings of Ramadan, it was stated that every day 1 million sinners are freed from hell. My question is that the Day of Judgment has not yet established. People will go to hell or paradise after their accountability. So I could not comprehend this concept. Kindly clarify this issue for me.
Blessings of Ramadan, Faizan-e-Sunnat Volume 1, Chapter Faizan-e-Sunnat.
Ramadan, page number 35, from top. While talking about the bestowments, mercies and forgiveness of Allah Almighty, the mercy of the mankind, the most generous and kind, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah, the best of the creations, the beloved of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, said at one occasion, when the first night of Ramadan falls, Allah Almighty casts a merciful sight on His creation. And when Allah Almighty casts a merciful sight upon any person, then He will never punish him. Moreover, He frees 1 million people from the hell every day. And when the 29th night falls, then in that one night He frees equal to the amount of people freed in the entire month. Then when the night of Eid al-Fitr falls, angels express joy and Allah Almighty reveals the special luster of His Noor and says to the angels, O group of angels, what is the reward of the laborer who's completed his work? Angels humbly reply, he shall be given the full reward. Allah Almighty says, I make you witness that I have forgiven them all. So 1 million every day. And on the last night, the total number of people that have been forgiven equal to the number of them are further freed from the hell. So the one who works hard on the last night of Ramadan is forgiven. What efforts have we made? May Allah also forgive us for the sake of those whom He forgives. So anyhow, freeing from the hell, one who's been sent to hell after that is not freeing him, it's taking him out. Here it refers to freeing. So it is absolutely obvious that the one for whom it had been decided that his sins were such that it had been decided for him that he is deserving of hell, now Allah Almighty, through His mercy, He knows everything. That person will not go in hell now. He's free from hell. That's what we'll perceive from this narration. Obviously, freeing after entering the hell, then, na'udhu billah, where all Anbiya Kiram are free from hell, it doesn't mean what the questioner had thought of. So in essence, whomsoever Allah Almighty wills for, that Muslim will not go in hell. And few sinners will, anyhow, be entered in hell. May Allah Almighty not include us among them.
Ameen. And what it is, wa in minkum illa wariduha, i.e. everyone will have to pass over the hell.
Bridge of Sirat. Passing over is different, being entered in hell is different. Moreover, there is no one who will be saved from passing over the bridge of Sirat. Even our beloved Master, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, will also cross the bridge of Sirat. But dignity of my Master, what will be the majesty and grandeur of him crossing the bridge of Sirat?
It states in Hadith that he alayhi salam will stand on the edge of the Sirat calling out his Ummah, Rabbi Sallim, Rabbi Sallim.
To cross it,
well, that's for everyone. وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا.
How will he cross? Like lightning? Well, there will be loads of his slaves who will cross like lightning. So how will our Master cross? His Rabb only knows. He will not face any difficulty. If he will have any stress, any worry, it will be for us, for the sinners of his Ummah. He'll have no worry for himself. And وہ پاک دل جس کو نہیں اپنا اندیشہ
ہجوم و فکر و تردد میں گھر گیا ہوگا ہزار جان فدا نرم نرم پاؤں پہ پکار سن کے اسیروں کی دوڑتا ہوگا عزیز بچے کو ماں جس طرح تلاش کرے خدا گواہ ہے وہی حال آپ کا ہوگا
تمہارا نام مصیبت میں جب لیا ہوگا ہمارا بھی
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى عليه.
يا شيخ, please guide us on the fact that it is said that eating roti and date is sunnah. Is that correct?
The date is among most important foods of Arab people. In that era, blessed companions in Jaishul Usra used to get only one date a day to eat. They would subsist entire day on it. Well, this was their saintly miracle. So, anyhow, a date has a lot of nutritions. It has a lot of energy. If one eats few dates in Sahri, then he can spend the entire day if date suits him. Faizan-e Ramazan, page number 169. Hazrat Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, Beloved Rasul, the noble prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would say to me at the time of Sahri, I intend to keep a fast, feed me something. So I used to present few dates and water in a bowl. Dear Islamic brothers, we come to know that eating Sahri itself is sunnah for a fasting person, and having date and water in Sahri is another sunnah. In fact, the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has also persuaded us to have Sahri with a date. Therefore, Sayyiduna Sa'ib bin Yazid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, The beloved of Allah, the noblest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, Ni'ma suhurut tamr, i.e. date is the best Sahri. At another place, it is stated, Ni'ma suhurul mu'minit tamr, i.e. date is the best Sahri of mu'min. There is no mention of date and roti in hadith. So dates have been mentioned. Only dates are dates and water. So these two have been mentioned. Anyhow, there is no harm in eating roti with date. However, it shall not be said that eating roti and date is sunnah in Sahri, because we don't have any such hadith right now in which eating roti in Sahri has been mentioned to be the practice of the noble prophet alayhi salam. If you know it, it's okay. Otherwise, don't call it a sunnah. Usage of only dates or dates and water in Sahri can be called a sunnah. Mercy of the mankind most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated, eat date first thing in the morning. It makes the insects of stomach die.
مدنی مدینے والے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد.
مدنی مذاکرہ ہے شریعت کا فرزینہ, اخلاق کا, تہذیب کا, طریقت کا فرزینہ. مدنی مذاکرہ ہے مدنی مذاکرہ, مدنی مذاکرہ ہے مدنی مذاکرہ.